It was once considered the mecca of speed skating in America. The Pettit National Ice Center is in Milwaukee. You can see the massive skating complex off I-94. The venue has two international size ice rinks and a 400 meter speed skating oval. But it's been overshadowed by the Utah Olympic Oval in recent years as the home for top speed skaters. Pettit, it's back in a big, big way, hosting the Olympic trials for the first time in 20 years. Public interest and American success in long track skating has waned in recent years. As WPR's Chuck Kornbach reports, the speed skating community sees this year's competition as a shot at redemption.
There's no doubt that the top speed skaters are still deeply into it. The men's winner in the 1,000-meter competition this week, 2014 Olympian Joey Mantilla, was very relieved after the event.
I'm going to sleep well tonight. Last night I was up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, tossing and turning. Just high-stress situation.
The second-place finisher in the men's 1,000, four-time Olympian and two-time gold medal winner Shawnee Davis, also says he's pleased to qualify for next month's Winter Games in South Korea. Davis, relatively old for speed skating at age 35, says he's not ready to leave the limelight.
I went out there and I fought like it was my last race in my career, and I was able to make the spot on the team. I'm very happy about that.
The women's 1,000-meter winner and two-time Olympian Heather Bergsma also is happy to be going to another Games.
Now I can breathe a little bit more, and I think I will be able to relax and have fun this week.
Women's runner-up Brittany Bowe has overcome a recent case of walking pneumonia to make the Olympics a second time.
You know, I dream about it every night, working hard every day, doing the best I can every single day, and that's all I can ask for.
Bo says no Olympic contender has an easy ride, and all of them have personal challenges to overcome.
There are still seats all the way down.
As more than 1,300 people filled the bleachers at the Pettit Ice Center Wednesday afternoon, one of them, Sherry Olson, talked about some of the challenges. Olson's daughter, Brianna Bocox, is skating in three events this week, and Olson says it's taken many years of sacrifice to get here.
Getting up early, it's a lot of time missed from home on holidays, traveling on holidays so you can get to events to acclimate to the climate, to the culture, to the food, to the time change. It's sacrifices by not only the athlete, but their family members as well.
Olson says the upside is seeing her daughter do what she loves. Still, the amount of time and increasing financial commitment are often thought to be two of the reasons more young people aren't trying to compete in long track speed skating. Olympic hopeful Nathan Miller also mentions the challenge of mixing in academics. He's a kinesiology student at UW-Milwaukee.
It's really hard. You have to really compartmentalize what you do here at the Pettit and then when you go home and study so you can sort of separate the two worlds and get everything that you need to get done accomplished.
Jim Chapin sees another problem for speed skating. He's a longtime youth skating coach and former Olympic trials competitor who came to Milwaukee this week from St. Louis. He says too many youngsters are focused on their phones and computers.
Some of this younger generation from America has the strongest thumbs in the world from video games. And strong thumbs don't get you on Olympic teams. Strong legs get you on Olympic teams.
Still, Chapin says he has hope. He says he tries to make sure his club's skaters have fun and as much success as possible. He also says more success by the U.S. speed skating teams at this year's Olympics would boost interest in the sport, much the way wins by Wisconsin skaters like Eric Heiden, Dan Jansen, and Bonnie Blair seemed to help decades ago. U.S. teams won no long track medals at the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi, Russia, as skaters from the Netherlands dominated. 1,000-meter qualifier Joey Mantilla says his teammates have the right mindset heading for next month's games.
This is a chance of redemption for us. Obviously, Sochi was a disaster. I think we fixed every problem we had in Sochi, and now at this point it's up to us. We have all the tools that we need.
And the chance, perhaps, to reignite U.S. interest in long-track speed skating. Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now we're going to look at this heritage more deeply of speed skating in Wisconsin. And we have quite the lineup with you. First, Bob Neville is the president of the Wisconsin Speed Skating Association. He's based in Madison, where he's a youth coach at the Madison Speed Skating Club. He's also an official. Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Katie. I'm appreciate you having me here.
We're also joined by Ernie Kretschmann, who has refereed speed skating since the 1980s. He's also, we're getting Ernie on the line right now. Let's go to Jeff Edwards, who's also here. He's originally from Champaign, Illinois, started speed skating as a kid in the 1960s, and his family moved to Wisconsin in 1976. He's a finish line judge for the Olympic trials currently taking place in Milwaukee. He eventually stopped competing, but he never quit speed skating entirely. He's been a coach for the Madison Speed Skating Club, a referee, an official, and a Finnish judge for the sport. Jeff, you cover your bases. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Jeff, let's start with you. What led you to getting involved in the sport?
Well, fortunately, I had a sister who was very good at the sport initially. When the coach saw her during a public session, invited her to skate, and when he found out that she had a brother, she said, "Well, bring him along too."
You were the tag along
right away. I was the tag along. My sister was good right away, and it took me 4 years before I won a race.
When did you know you were hooked? There was no turning back.
I heard the Reverend Bob Johnson, who was an Olympic gold medalist in pole vault, speak, and that set the fire for the Olympics for me. I decided that I wanted to make the Olympic team in speed skating.
Bob, how valuable is Wisconsin to U.S. speed skating?
It's extremely valuable because we've got the National Ice Center, Training Center in Milwaukee, which has produced some fantastic ice for these skaters to train on. We also have strong support from our local clubs and communities, so that keeps pushing new skaters into the system.
And these clubs are really vibrant places. You're seeing a lot of these young people come up through the ranks.
Yes, a lot of real young skaters. It's always a pleasure when you see a kid that's 4 or 5 years old starting off skating, and then down the road you see them at the Olympics, you know, standing on the podium, and you sit there. I remember when they first started skating.
You have brought in scrapbooks with you here in the studio in Madison. These scrapbooks are very old and tell a story about speed skating in this state. What do you tell us a tidbit from these scrapbooks?
Well, you know, the scrapbooks, it shows back in the early 60s here. That's as far back as I can go. Speed skating's been in Wisconsin since the early 1900s. And we used to have 300 skaters at a meet. And you were lucky. You had heats. You had quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And one skater would make it out of each of these rotations. So you had to skate well. There was a lot of press coverage on them. It was like pro sports right now. Every meet back in the 60s, we had clubs in La Crosse, Eau Claire, Fond du Lac, Oconomowoc, Waukesha, West Allis, Madison, Wapaka. So we were very strong, and it was team competitions.
Jeff, you are a finish line judge for the Olympic trials that are taking place in Milwaukee right now. First of all, what is a finish line judge? Explain for us.
Well, finish line judge is responsible for two things: who won the race and by how much in meters. And that's what I record, and then I submit that to the timing people, and then that's part of the permanent record of the event.
So you are there at Pettit each day right now. Tell us the feeling. Tell us the vibe there. What does it feel like?
Oh, it's really exciting. I was fortunate enough to work the Salt Lake Winter Olympics as the finish line judge there, and this is just as exciting. To see the athletes try to compete for a spot on the Olympic team is the epitome of it's just one step short of being in the Olympics, and the excitement and the atmosphere is just outstanding.
What about the crowds turning out?
the crowds, I'll tell you, I am very surprised and pleased to have so many people come out and support the sport. We're like every 4 years, everybody knows about us, but we're dead in between. And to see the excitement of the crowd is just wonderful, and have the attendance there is just super.
We are learning about the storied history of Wisconsin speed skating and the athletes who are making their mark at the Olympic trials in Milwaukee, learning about the Pettit National Ice Center. You can join in the conversation about Wisconsin speed skating, 800-642-1234. Have you ever gone speed skating? What was your experience? Are you part of a speed skating club in Wisconsin? Which one? Tell us about the tradition, 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update. Stay with us. Pettit National Ice Center in Milwaukee is where Olympic dreams come true this week. Wisconsin is hosting the U.S. Speed Skating Olympic Trials. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Remarkable stories of these athletes flowing out of Pettit. We've heard of a 47-year-old who's vying for a spot to make the 2018 Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. We have three guests on speed skating this hour: Bob Neville, Ernie Kretschmann, and Jeff Edwards. Stay with us. Bob Neville is the president of the Wisconsin Speed Skating Association. Jeff Edwards is a finish line judge for the Olympic trials currently taking place in Milwaukee. And Ernie Kretschmann has refereed speed skating since the 1980s. He's also refereed for the World Speed Skating Championships all over the world and for the Olympic Games in Salt Lake City in 2002. He's from Brookfield. Ernie, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what does being a speed skating judge entail?
Well, the referee's job is to conduct the races, beginning with determining who skates against whom from the entries based on their seat times. The idea is to have the slower skaters go first, and then each subsequent pair will be somewhat better, and then the last two or three pairs will determine a winner. But it develops the excitement in all of the races as each pair is faster and faster and faster, and it has a certain amount of drama to it. We all know who's going to be in contention, but this allows us to do it in a manner where we can get on TV and have that drama that's required for the races. So we set that up. We make sure that no one fouls another skater, that all the rules are followed. And at the end of the day, we give the awards to the winners.
How do you learn to become a judge, or what is that training like?
We use the term referee, not judge.
Okay, right. Uh-huh.
Well, it's on-the-job training. When I was first asked to referee, I worked locally and then regionally and then in the U.S. And then in 1992, I was asked to start refereeing internationally. And in 96, I did my first world championship, which happened to be one that Chris Witte won the sprint championship at Heer en Veen in Holland.
Is that a stressful job? Is it pretty intense?
It's intense. I wouldn't call it stressful. I think it's one of those things that, just like an athlete gets up for those big moments, the referee has to be prepared to do the same thing. You have to be prepared not to look at the color of the uniform or the flag on the shoulder. You have to just follow the rules and be an impartial observer. And if something happens, it's your job to rule on it and disqualify the skater for whatever the violation is. The stress is one of those things that you have in life, and it's just something that you have to manage.
Well, Bob Neville, back to you on Wisconsin's deep history called, you know, the cradle of speed skating. How did Wisconsin become this bastion of speed skating?
I think the big thing is because of our winters. We had plenty of outdoor ice, the activities for the kids. Everyone wanted to do activities outside. You didn't have the video games. You didn't have the television. So the activities during the winter months is you either skied, you skated, or you hunted.
And some people turn.
Pop in on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Speed skating has been very important in the Milwaukee area for many years. However, what really put Wisconsin on the map is the construction of the Olympic Rink, the old Olympic Rink in 1967 in West Allis, or right on the border between West Allis and Milwaukee. In the early days, the races used to be conducted on Washington Park on the lagoon, with the building, the pavilion, serving as a warming house. And then the national championships were always conducted on Lake Como in Minneapolis. Then in the 60s, when we started to get support from the Chicago folks, so we had a combination of the Chicago, Phil Crum, and the Milwaukee people lobbying to build the Olympic rink, which came to fruition in 1967, then all of a sudden the speed skating headquarters for the U.S. came to Milwaukee instead of Minneapolis.
And so
at that time,
when Pettit was built, though, the speed skaters, before the Pettit National Ice Center was built, speed skaters, I understand, were outside on that property. Is that right, Bob? Explain the conditions.
Well, the conditions were, could be brutal at times with the winds, the wind chill, of course, just the elements, dust blowing onto the ice, damaging skates.
From a local cement factory?
A concrete factory. You have, unexpected obstacles that could come out onto ice if something gets blown out that skaters would have to navigate by. So
perhaps
it was
from the interstate, being
could
right
be
there too?
Yep, yeah. Could be some garbage from the interstate. I've heard of benches actually getting blown across the ice that the skaters would be sitting on. So a lot of different interesting things can happen.
Jeff, the Pettit National Ice Center is at sea level, which is a very important thing right now for these athletes who are trying to earn a spot for the Olympic Games. Can you tell us why Milwaukee is so important right now in history for these Olympics?
Yeah, the current Winter Olympics in February will be held in South Korea, and they are also at sea level. In fact, they are very close to the same level that we are here in Milwaukee. And so by the athletes being tested at this environment, we're getting the best athletes that will be able to perform at sea level for the Olympic Games.
Why haven't the trials been held at Pettit over the past 20 years? Why has it taken 20 years for Pettit to get these trials back?
Well, that's a good question. I think it really goes to where will the Olympics be held? Mm. And we try to get the athletes to compete for the Olympic team at the conditions that are the closest that we can replicate for the Winter Olympic Games themselves.
Jeff Edwards, how has speed skating changed in modern times here in Wisconsin and around the globe?
Well, I would say that from when I used to skate, literally everything has changed, from the skates that they use to the uniforms that they wear and the conditions in which they compete. I never competed indoors like the Pettit National Ice Center provides. I was at the outdoor rink where you had the wind, the sun, the elements all involved, and so it wasn't really a level playing field. Now they have a level playing field where everybody has the same environment to compete in. Uniforms and skates may or may not be the same. It seems like every year, at least every Olympic year, somebody comes out with a new uniform that they claim is better than somebody else's. And the Dutch invented the clap skate, which has provided more momentum for every push than you used to get with a fixed skate, which is what I competed on.
So the heel is detached, is that right?
The heel is detached, yeah. There's a spring system, and it allows you to have more ice surface contact longer as you push away from your body, so you get a better push.
Ernie Kretschmann, how fast are these speed skaters going?
Well, the men typically go in the middle to upper 30s in the 500 meter. That's miles per hour, and the women are around 30 to 32. But let me expand a little bit on what Jeff was talking about. When you consider the difference between the old days, and there you go back to the 40s, when you had a season that started around Christmas, if the weather was cold enough, and ended somewhere in mid-February or sometimes even earlier, there wasn't a lot of time to train. Then we went into the era with the Olympic rink, where we used to try to get ice in around Thanksgiving and held ice until the end of February. And that gave us, our athletes, an advantage because we had a refrigerated rink then instead of natural ice. Now you go into the Pettit Center and you're expanding the season even more. Now typically our skaters get on the ice sometimes end of August when we have a big year like an Olympic year, or normally middle September, and we hold the ice until the middle of March before the season ends. So the training season is longer, the competition gets much better, the skaters get used to the different conditions, high altitude versus low altitude. And one of the things that U.S. speed skating has done in the past 20 years is concentrate on high altitude. And one of the reasons for that is it's like baseball. Everybody wants to bat 300 or better. Well, when you skate in high altitude, your times are better. Your 500 meter is in the 34 seconds instead of 36 seconds in the low altitude. So Calgary and Utah have those wonderful conditions because of the thin air that allows them to go 34 seconds for that 500. It's 34.2, 34.4. So
that's why records would be broken there as opposed to here.
Exactly. But with the Olympics, last Olympics in Sochi, we were training at high altitude, yet the Olympics were in moderate to low altitude. So I think the lesson is learned that when there's a high altitude Olympic site, you better train at high altitude. If it's a low altitude, then you have to do some training at low altitude as well. And that's one of the reasons the team was for much of September training and then coming back in December training again for these trials. So it makes sense to get your body acclimated to the conditions.
Bob Neville, how have you seen the sport evolve in the era that you've been with it in the many years?
The skates are a big factor. Of course, I'm involved in both short and long track, and of course, we have the long track over at the Pettit Center. But as Ernie said, you had to fix blades on the skates, and when I came in, that is what everyone had. And it was a few years later than the clap skates, and every year the clap skates got more and more advanced. So you see more and more kids on them. I think the only people you see on a fixed blade anymore are the referees.
You guys are the holdouts.
Of course. They call us the old timers.
And so where do people get outfitted with this equipment here in Wisconsin?
Most of the equipment, you either, you can go online. There's a lot of places that still supply the stuff. Many of the skaters get custom boots, which they have someone mold their foot, and then they will build the boot according to their foot.
What advantage do you have there?
The skate then is basically just part of your foot. It does not move. It is stationary, so it's almost like walking barefooted.
Oh, my goodness. What advice? Go ahead.
We have a gentleman in New York, Paul Marchese, who makes the boots and puts the blades on them. And then we have one of our old ex-Olympians, Skip Carpenter, bronze medalist in 2002, who now lives in Holland and makes skates and boots for the Dutch and for the Americans and all over the world. So that business has grown very nicely into a little, you know, craft business, and they work beautifully.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the competition all over the world. What is the U.S. up against in speed skating that other countries are really giving it a run for its money. Ernie Kretschmann, go ahead.
Well, I think it's the other way around. I think we've been giving other countries a run for their money. Speed skating was big for ages in Holland and Norway, somewhat in Russia and Germany. And then we came along in the 70s and the 80s, and all of a sudden the Eric Heidens came up and won 5 medals at Lake Placid in 1980 and just turned the world upside down. And then we had some people following that. We had Paul Miller, who was a world champion in the late 70s. Paul Miller was originally from Madison, Madison Speed Skating Club. Mary Doctor, Dan Immerfall, Beth Hayden all came out of the Madison Club. And then the next era was the Dan Jansons, the Bonnie Blairs in the late 80s and early 90s. Casey Fitz-Randolph and the aforementioned Kip Carpenter in the 2002 Olympics, all medal winners. So we've really pushed with a little different style of skating. In the old days, it was always big pushes, long glides, and all of a sudden we got into it with the sprint distances, and we started to use fast feet to get there. Well, of course, other countries saw that, and then the Japanese came in with their stars, who were quicker than snot, as we used to say. And all of a sudden, the world got the word and said, yeah, we can do this with the little quick guys. And the game changed again completely. We're expecting the Japanese, the Koreans, and the Chinese to give the Dutch a run for their money. The Japanese ladies are just dominating speed skating in this World Cup season. So we have Heather, formerly Richardson Bergsma, who is one of our top skaters in the 500, the 1,000, and 1,500, will have competition from the Dutch. They'll have competition from the Japanese. The Chinese are always the dark horse because we don't know enough about them. And, of course, you know the population of China is 1.3, 1.4 billion. So they have more skaters than we have population of Wisconsin. So the game has changed. But
well,
the Koreans are dominating in short track, and the Japanese women are dominating long track. So it's going to be a very, very interesting competition.
And Jeff Edwards, quickly here, you're a finish line judge for the Olympic trials currently taking place in Milwaukee. What do you see out of the athletes, and how is the American team going to shape up as what you're seeing?
I think they're going to be very competitive. What I'm seeing is a big improvement in their training methods and their psychological demeanor. These athletes are ready to go and perform well in the Winter Olympics. So I'm very encouraged by what I see.
The Pettit National Ice Center in Milwaukee is the heartbeat of U.S. speed skating this week with the long track Olympic trials underway. They run through Sunday. 16 spots on the U.S. Olympic team are at stake. It's the first time the Olympic trials have been held here since 1998. With us this hour on Wisconsin Weekend, Bob Neville, Ernie Kretschmann, and Jeff Edwards. Bob Neville is the president of the Wisconsin Speed Skating Association. Ernie Kretschmann has refereed speed skating since the 1980s, and Jeff Edwards is a finish line judge for the Olympic trials that are in Milwaukee right now. Your stories about speed skating in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Join in the conversation. Have you ever gone speed skating? What was your experience? Are you part of a speed skating club in Wisconsin? Part of this heritage? Which one? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll return after a check of the news. The country's best skaters are aiming to qualify for spots at the 2018 Olympic Winter Games in South Korea. It is a remarkable moment right now for the Pettit National Ice Center in Milwaukee, which hasn't hosted the Olympic trials in 20 years. In recent years, the Pettit Center has been overshadowed a bit by the Utah Olympic Oval near Salt Lake City, which has drawn a lot of top-level skaters. But all of that is changing this week with the trials underway. We've got Bob Neville with us, president of the Wisconsin Speed Skating Association. Ernie Kretschmann is here. He's refereed speed skating since the 1980s. And Jeff Edwards is a finish line judge taking time out from the Olympic trials currently underway in Milwaukee. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about Wisconsin speed skating? What are your memories of speed skating? Join in with reflections, remembrances about this sport in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Bob Neville, if someone wants to dip their toe into speed skating, try it out, especially for youth, what should you do?
Basically, Wisconsin, we do have a website, the Wisconsin Speed Skating Association. People can go on there and find out where a club is. Also, get additional information on the Wisconsin Association in general. Currently, we have a club in Wausau that skates in the D.C. Everest School. Their club is starting to build again with a lot more young skaters. We have a club up in Green Bay that they skate in the Reich Center in Ashwaubenon. They've got a great program. They've kicked out a lot of good short track skaters. In Milwaukee, we got the Wisconsin Speed Skating Club that skates at the Pettit Center. And in Madison, we have the Madison Club that skates in the Oregon Community Ice Rink currently. We have a lot of the skaters that will also drive down to Milwaukee from all these communities to skate on the long track oval.
How young do the kids start out?
We've had kids as young as three get onto ice, and we've had skaters as old as in their 70s still skating.
Wow.
It's one of these sports where you can do it for recreation, you can do it for competition, and you can do it all your life.
Well, I want to ask each of you about this sport in terms of the life lessons you take away from it. What has speed skating taught you that you have applied in other areas of your life? Let's start with you, Ernie Kretschmann. Go ahead.
Oh, the life lessons are always the interesting part, and I think it's not just personally. You see development of individuals, of human beings that turn, you know, from being an athlete in their youth to being wonderful citizens and leaders in our communities. Again, let's go back to Eric Heiden. He started. He got to be the number one skater in the world in 1980. He did a couple of years of playing hockey and bike racing, and then he went to med school. And all of a sudden, he comes out as an orthopedic surgeon, has a practice in California, later moves his practice to Park City in Utah, and is a team doctor for U.S. speed skating for many years. We have wonderful people that are in charge. Let's talk about Dan Immerfall. Now, Dan Immerfall was an Olympian, a bronze medalist in the late 60s, I believe 76. He is now the lead referee in the ISU. He does the ISU referee clinics.
International Speed Skating.
International Skating Union.
Union, okay.
Headquartered in Lausanne, Switzerland. We have wonderful examples. Kip Carpenter is another one. He married a Dutch girl and moved to Holland. He's got a business going, selling skates and boots and a wonderful family. What it all comes back to is hard work pays off. These kids learn to train. They train hour after hour and day after day. They develop their technique. They develop their speed. And all of a sudden, they become wonderful skaters. Then the next phase in life comes. Some of our kids go to engineering school. Right now we have a young man who's 5,000-meter man who's going to Marquette University.
Is that Emery Lehman?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Emory. Okay. He's in engineering school. Brian Hansen is in engineering school as well. Brian Hansen is competing in the 500 and the 1,000. And these people will come out to be wonderful human beings as a result of learning that work pays off. You know, this is where we start our habits, developing the habits that will lead us the rest of our lives. And let me talk about my old buddy, Jerry Steele. Jerry couldn't make it this morning. He's in his mid-80s. He was a skater in the 40s, 50s, 60s, coached. He's an eye doctor in Elm Grove. He's retired. He still gives back to the sport. He referees every weekend that he's here when he's not in Florida during the winter. But we have these Jeff Edwards is another one. He came out of Champaign, Illinois, not thinking he'd amount to much.
All right, well, Ernie, let's let Jeff speak for himself. Jeff, what about you? Life lessons.
Well, I can remember my mom telling me that the sport of speed skating brought a shy kid out of his shell into a leader. I did more as a result of speed skating in my lifetime than I would have ever imagined. I've been involved since high school in being proactive in theater, things that are politics, just so many aspects of everyday life that you don't normally think of. But I did it because I was involved in speed skating, and it made me a better person. And even today, I'll do stuff because I know that I can do it. I have confidence, and it's just amazing how it's permeated my whole life and allowed me to just do things that I couldn't have done otherwise.
Bob Neville, your thoughts on what speed skating, how it has changed your life?
The biggest thing with speed skating is the friendships that you make throughout the whole world. There's so much diversity. You get skaters from every single country. We used to see a lot of the Canadian skaters to come down and skater meets. You got the, of course, the Dutch skaters that have come in. You've had Russian skaters. So you make these friendships, and friendships are something that, you know, you can't put a price on.
In our last minute together, Bob, can you see the vision for speed skating in the future? Where do you see the sport headed?
I think it's like a lot of sports. They have their cycles. I think that speed skating is going to come back a lot stronger. With a lot of your other sports, you see more and more on the injury aspects, football, hockey, the concussions, you know, the long-term effects. Speed skating, we don't have that. I think more athletes will decide that, yes, this individual sport is a very good sport. We're on razor-sharp blades, but we have a lot of safety measures, and we do take care of the athletes.
What are some of the safety things, some of the things on the actual athlete so that they can have a safe race?
With long track, of course, the skin scoots, they're aerodynamic. There's less chance of injury. Mm. Of course, on the rinks, we have major padding on any place that an athlete could actually hit something. And we also, with short track, we have a lot of cut-proof items.
Thank you all so much for spending time with us. Bob, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I had enjoyed myself.
Jeff Edwards, Ernie Kretschmann, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We had Bob Neville, the president of the Wisconsin Speed Skating Association, with us. Ernie Kretschmann, who has refereed speed skating since the 1980s. And Jeff Edwards at the Pettit Center is a finish line judge for the Olympic trials that are underway, taking place in Milwaukee through the weekend. Now it is time for Wisconsin Life. Who needs an ice rink when you have a pond? Commentator Laura Lane discovered this old-fashioned pleasure in her own backyard.
We have a pond in our neighborhood. I never thought it was anything special. It's medium size, and geese flock to it in the warmer months. In the winter, it's usually buried under snow and blends in completely with the endless gray landscape. One cold, dreary afternoon, our neighbors called and invited us down to the pond to ice skate. They had shoveled the snow off the pond and set out lawn chairs. They also lugged a netted goal onto the ice. The idea of ice skating on a pond seemed quaint and old-fashioned, but also magical to me. I grew up out west, 1,000 miles away from Wisconsin. The only times I had seen people ice skating on ponds was on television at Rockefeller Plaza or in a picture book. My husband and I got the kids dressed in their full winter regalia, hats, gloves, neck warmers, jackets, and snow pants. We had learned about wearing snow pants the hard way a year before, when we took the kids ice skating in an indoor rink and let them wear jeans. They were absolutely soaked and freezing by the time we finished, especially given the number of times they fell smack on their bottoms on the ice. I also had the kids' hockey helmets ready to go. Since our outing to the indoor rink the year before, I didn't trust their bicycle helmets to keep them safe. Of course, when we got to the pond, they were the only kids wearing helmets. Our neighbor's children were gliding and swooping on the ice with only their stocking caps gracing their heads. I was too chicken to get out on the ice myself, so I watched and chatted with my neighbors as my husband and kids tentatively maneuvered their way over the icy surface. Soon all three grew more confident, and they started gliding on the ice in small bursts. One neighbor friend handed our daughter a hockey stick, and she had great fun trying to hit the puck into the goal. Our son grew tired of falling and struggling to stand on the ice, so he joined some other kids who were sledding down a small hill adjacent to the pond. It was a bitterly cold day, but for once I didn't complain. Ice skating on a pond is exhilarating, even when you're just watching from the sidelines. When we finally decided to head home, our cheeks were pink, and everyone felt happy and tired in a good way. We tromped into the house, peeled off our winter gear, and made some hot cocoa with marshmallows. It's then that I realized that when you live in Wisconsin, you don't endure winter, you celebrate it.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy, Keely Baltina, Niaja Ellison, and Brianne Shasso. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And this look at the world of speed skating, you find it on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.